Some Lutherans who follow the example of the doctor seem to have a hard time with James. If you'd only read your Bible a bit more, you'd know what was going on in James. But that, however, is not something you could say to those who first heard it read in church. They knew their scriptures very well. Thank you very much. We've been confirmed. Done bar mitzvah. You don't have to treat us as if we don't know the scriptures forwards and backwards already. So James doesn't do that. He simply takes all that for granted and draws from that what they need to hear. What's that? Someone has suggested that James is really a Jewish document with just a few Christian phrases popped in. You may have heard sermons like that. Actually, it's the Christian bits that everything hangs on. First of all, James 1:1. What's with God is what's with the Lord, Jesus Christ. James is his servant for the 12 of the tribes of the diaspora. Chapter 2 begins with the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the weightiest, straight Christian stuff just seems to show up along the way, incidentally. Yet, ringing in what's running it all, like the name of God that was called upon you. James 2:7, is it not they who blaspheme that glorious name which was called upon you? The beautiful, the wondrous, the Eshad name, Ki Thoth, Kalam, Onama, that was called upon you. Say that to Christians and you put them in mind of their baptism. But not just their own, but everybody's baptism there in church. That is where you would expect to find the baptized. They are worth to each other what that name put upon them makes them worth. Primary fact in church as we look at one another, he or she is a person baptized. Name and person go together. The Lord has watered his name upon them. If I treat such a person as trash, I am trashing the name he put there upon him. If I treat such a person as not worth bothering about, that's what I am doing also to the name, his name, which the Lord put there for always. As Jesus said, what we do to one another, he receives as done to him. He is where he puts his name. That fact works as a sort of delayed action bomb in chapter 2, where James has been describing what's been going on in their church. The fact that someone has had the Lord's name put on him is not the primary fact about the person, but how much money he's got. Is that the fact which determines how you treat people in church? Not much help with a budget or a likely benefactor if he's just scraping by on Social Security. And isn't it the rich who throw their weight around and demand to determine decisions with their money? What they are doing, James diagnoses as blaspheming the name put upon you. They act in contradiction and contempt of that name. Treat you as if the Lord hadn't put his name on you. Or on them, for that matter, either. You have to be broke for Jesus to bother about you. James does not leave them railing against the facts and how they act as having chucked their baptism. He reminds them of their baptism. As Dr. Luther says, running with St. James, you've been carrying on as if you had never been baptized. Or better, maximum gospel with the small catechism. As those baptized begin each day, repeating the name he put upon you with the water. In the morning when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, he can't quit his name. Where he puts his name, he does his name. He gives out of his name all that is is there end for our salvation,
and for each day's living out his gifts.
Faithful prayer pulls the gifts out of his name. And if that is when we get up in the morning, we might not be much up to much prayer. So it's good to have a good prayer provided. But do we then say the prayer, or does the prayer pray us? Then we go happily into the day, trusting the Lord to do his name on us and through us. We are baptized. James then goes on to show how that works out, how we are there for one another, counting on the baptizing name.